Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined by Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family News and One News Now. Good morning, Fred.
Glad to be here, and I had some fans that arrived out front this morning. I just wanted to note them.
I saw that. Yes. Explain yourself, sir.
Yes, 12 Canadian geese.
Yes.
Roughly.
And a partridge and a pear tree.
And a partridge and a pear tree. They literally, folks, we're not exaggerating. They showed up at our front door this morning.
Yes.
Yeah, they didn't ask to come in. Our security team headed them
was
out.
Right on it.
It was the strangest thing.
And I saw them. They're just walking past.
Just stroll right
I told Jonathan Coker, who's one of our security team members. He does a lot more than that. But I said, hey, go get those geese off our lawn. Just go move them out of the way because geese will turn on you.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah. They said, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I don't know where they came from, but they just walked away.
Yep. Well,
I think they're legal.
Yes, they're legal. Yeah, they're carrying their green cards.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. All right, also joining us is Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries. Ray, good morning.
Well, good morning, Ed, and good morning, Fred. No geese here, but we saw some skinks this morning.
Skinks? Oh,
what's a skink?
Salamanders, aren't they kind of
they look like little slippery snakes. They're kind of, you know, they're not as cool as Canadian geese, but really, what is? Right?
They're not. Skinks. Wow. All right. Well, so the biology lesson for today is over.
Right.
Someday when we have a little extra time, I'm going to share. I have a swan story, but not a swan song. But anyway, it didn't end well, and that's all I'll say about that. So anyway, folks, it is Truth for Youth Bible Week. I really enjoy this week. Tim Todd with Revival Fires International will be on some of the radio programming, I think, this afternoon, but tomorrow I think he'll be on this show. Mm-hmm. And so what we're asking folks to do, we're just simply asking you to help us give away thousands of free Bibles to teenagers. That's right. Give them away. One free Truth for Youth Bible will be given to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promise to pass it along to a friend at school. All right, that's all we're asking people to do. And this is totally legal. It's totally constitutional. The ACLU or the other host of little small atheist groups can't say anything about this. If a teenager wants to give a Bible to a friend, nothing they can do to stop them. The thing that's great about these Bibles is they are designed for teenagers. I've got a copy here in the studio. And they have the first 100 pages are cartoons, very well done comics. I think different Bibles might have some different topics, but safe sex, pornography, the supernatural, secular rock music, evolution, sexting and cyberbullying, school violence, pluralism, cutting and suicide, what's next, the Ten Commandments, drugs, drunkenness, and peer pressure. These are all comics. Kids love these. And they're very well done with a biblical message. And then, obviously, it has the Bible in it, too. And that's where young people will start reading the Bible after they get through some of the comics. And lives can be changed. And, in fact, before we go to the news and before I tell you how you can help jump in on this project, let's hear a testimony.
I was one of those girls who wanted to fit into the popular crowd, just like most teenagers. And I became an alcoholic. And I got really depressed because of it. So I tried to commit suicide, and I was put in the hospital. One of my friends from school, she came up to me and just started visiting with me at the hospital, and she gave me a Truth for Youth Bible. And she started talking to me about God's love and how much He could help me and how He was always there for me. And I was like, wow, this stuff is real. And I even read the comics, and it changed my life, and I realized how much He really does love me and care for me. So I haven't been the same since.
I love these testimonies. Wow. I really do really like love this week. Okay, so the Truth for Youth Bible consists of the entire New Testament and full-color comics that present the gospel and moral truths. The Truth for Youth Bible is now available in Spanish. Our goal this year, please help us get 60,000 Bibles into the hands of teens. I think we do this, just about hit that number every single year. This is a year, too, that we will go over 1 million Bibles donated in this partnership between Revival Fire Ministries and American Family Radio. We've been doing this, I think, for 18 years. All right. You'll hear this information all week. Let me get you started. If you want to jump in and get a free Bible for the teen in your life who's going to give this to someone at school, you can go to afr.net. There'll be a banner there that you can click on. Or you can call this number, 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737 between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central Time. We'll give you some of this information as the program goes on today because, as I said, this is Truth for Youth Bible Week. All right, Fred, now we got the gospel message out. Now let's talk about why we desperately need it in this country.
Absolutely. Well, most of us woke up on Saturday morning to the news out of New York that Jeffrey Epstein, I think most people are familiar with that name now, 66-year-old, facing about 45 years in prison on federal sex trafficking and conspiracy charges, which he pleaded not guilty to, but the news was for sure that he had passed, he was dead. The controversy right now seems to be, did he commit suicide or was he killed in prison? Now, officially, I think the message is that he committed suicide. Now, right away, the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, demanded an investigation because you may remember when Epstein was arrested about a month and change ago, he was immediately put on suicide watch in this the Metropolitan Correctional Center. It's a jail in downtown New York City. He was put on suicide watch because that happened after one morning he was found with an injury to his neck. And so there was a belief that he had tried to kill himself at that time. Put on suicide watch, but in the last several days, last week, he had been taken off of suicide watch. So there is an immediate investigation as to why that happened, if indeed he committed suicide. An autopsy was done in the last 48 hours, but the details of that have not been released. There's obviously a lot of reaction to it. Some of it, I have to describe a little strange, that some people are regretting he committed suicide because they wanted him to face the full measure of his punishment.
Right.
That somehow, by committing suicide, he has escaped. As Christians, we know if he was not saved, the man is spending eternity in hell. And what could be worse than that?
Right.
But the investigation is underway to see what happened. There are some peculiar things that have come out just in the last 24 hours or so. Apparently, there are only two guards that were on duty. And those guards, one of them, for instance, have been working overtime shifts for 5 days in a row. Another one that had been there multiple hours. So there seems to be a defense building on behalf of the prison guards that they were overworked. They could not, they were expected apparently to check on him every 30 minutes.
Right.
That wasn't being done. So, it's going to be investigated. As I say, the Attorney General of the United States is involved with this as to see what happened. But where does the case go from here? I'm not sure. Late last week, there were 2,000 pages of documents were released in connection with the investigation of this case. If you don't know about the Jeffrey Epstein case, basically, authorities have been aware of allegations made against this man for many years now.
Decades.
That he was recruiting young girls to be involved sexually with multiple friends, clients, whatever you want to call it. He had an island, I think, down near the Virgin Islands, and he would take people there. These are allegations
right.
that were made against him. allegations that I brought in some pretty high-profile names, including Bill Clinton and others. The people who have been named have all denied that they did anything wrong with any young women.
Right.
So that's where the story is this morning. The investigation continues. I guess the next step in this is will be the release of the autopsy report.
You know, Ray, this is a bizarre case. Now, as I began to hear, and someone texted me over the weekend and said, "Hey, did you hear that Epstein?" And then in quotes, killed himself. You know, this is going to be one of those bizarre things. Epstein apparently told guards someone was trying to kill him, but he was adjusting to life in prison. So you say, why was he trying to kill himself? He was offering to kind of turn state's evidence for maybe some sort of a plea bargain deal. My understanding, too, and again, I this is just what I have read and heard, is Fred, isn't it true that the cameras that were supposedly on his cell were turned away?
That is correct. There's been an inmate that's been quoted now and said in the cell where he was being kept, there was no way he could commit suicide.
Right, someone who's actually been in that jail before.
As a prisoner.
Ray, Epstein's cellmate had been removed and put somewhere else. This is just one of those bizarro world kind of things that would be in a movie about the mob, you know? I mean, where someone's going to testify against a big mob boss, and then Right. Lo and behold, he quote-unquote kills himself by Right. Shooting himself 17 times.
Right. Well, all the things that you guys have talked about are spot on to the vast number of conspiracy theories. It's really hard to understand how a high-profile man like Jeffrey Epstein, how he could be in a place like that in New York City and somehow find the materials necessary and the privacy necessary to commit suicide. You know what else I think is going on here? It speaks to the lack of confidence that America has in many of our governing institutions, that we hear a story like this, and frankly, we feel like we've been lied to so many times
Right. That
we become instantly skeptical, which I got to say, when I heard the news on Saturday, guys, that's how I felt, instantly skeptical that this man in this situation could have done this without help, or perhaps maybe somebody came in and ordered him put to death. Well, we just don't have enough to make a judgment, but it does say something about the complete erosion of trust that Americans, we feel separated from the institutions of our government that we were raised to trust. We don't know who we can trust now.
And this was a prison where the cells, Fred, had been specifically designed to keep someone from killing themselves. So
Right. This
whole thing is bizarre, and Ray makes it just a great point. We don't know who to trust anymore. We can't trust the media. We don't trust politicians. We don't
Right. Trust
the government. You know, so who in the world do we trust? I'll tell you something else. Jeffrey Epstein's, I don't know what you call her, girlfriend or whatever, Ghislaine Maxwell, whatever her name is. I think I pronounced it right. But anyway, she is kind of alleged to have been his handler and the woman who gets the underage girls for Epstein. She's alive,
mm-hmm. And
she probably knows where a lot of bodies are buried too. So if I were her, I'd get plenty of, you know, security just to make sure that I don't think she's been arrested. Has she been arrested? It's all been on Epstein. Anyway, it's a perverse tale of dark human appetites that because someone is powerful enough and rich enough could get away with satisfying.
Yeah.
This is like Caligula,
Yeah. You
know, former, you know, the emperor of Rome or something. You just go, wow, the rich and the powerful, but they don't get away with it forever. If all this is true about Epstein, it appears to have been true. You don't get away with it forever.
No, and I mean, to the conspiracy theories, you know, there's a headline here from the Houston Chronicle. Trump retweets conspiracy post tying Clinton to Epstein's death, because that's one of the things that was put out there,
right?
That Epstein knew something about Bill Clinton, allegedly, and his involvement with all of this.
Well, he flew on that plane that's called the Lolita Express, because, again, underage girls on it.
Yes.
27 times.
Yes.
And apparently some of those times he left Secret Service, you know, back in D.C. or wherever the plane took. I mean, it's just ugly. I mean, it's just unseemly. Mm-hmm. Who knows what's going to wind up being true and what isn't true, but it's just it's beyond distasteful. The whole air of this is disgusting.
Well, like we're living in this day and age now where you can't dismiss these kinds of things. There's just so much wickedness out there.
Right, right.
And, I mean, just the story itself of Epstein is horrific. But then now you've got this happening, a man in custody in a cell in an area where this kind of thing is not supposed to happen. You know, like we said, he's on suicide watch. He's taken off suicide watch. His cellmate is taken away. The cameras aren't working. Is there any wonder?
The guards who are supposed to check on him every 30 minutes. They
did not.
Yeah, they didn't. And then he winds up. This is such a bizarre tale. You got the U.S. Attorney General.
Right. That's right.
Is going to be investigating this, too. Yeah. So I hope they can get to the bottom of it and find out. By the way, folks, if you want to watch us discuss the issues of the day, you can go to either Facebook or YouTube and type in today's issues. That's what you would search for. And you can click through and you can watch us do the program. So that's how you can get the video version. If you don't have a terrestrial radio station nearby, you can get the AFR app. And not only listen to this show, but others throughout the day. All right, what else?
Some good news.
Good.
I think
finally.
I think we talked about this movie, which was due to be released September 27th, I believe it was. It's called The Hunt. If you haven't heard, and I'm sure there are some folks who haven't heard about The Hunt, just to put it very basically, was a story about wealthy people who would go to this resort to hunt.
Kind of like a game reserve.
But their targets were people. And the people were referred to in the movie as deplorables. Hmm. Now, instantly, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to make some connections here. Remember Hillary Clinton, 2016, referred to Trump supporters as deplorables.
They're also referred to in the trailer and the film, apparently. People who drive pickup trucks and love guns. So it was flyover country.
Well, anyway, on the weekend, and the American Family Association put out a release on this, calling on Fox Universal not to release this movie. They had canceled some of the promotions in the wake of the shooting incidents a week ago last weekend.
Right.
At the Walmart in El Paso and at that club in Dayton, Ohio. So they had removed some of the promotional ads from the public. But at that point, they were still willing to release the movie on September 27th. But over the weekend, there's been such a public outcry against this that they said they would not. Now, we want to put some caution here. They didn't say they would never release
right.
it. Let's be very careful about that. They've invested Fox Universal, I'm talking about, has invested tens of millions of dollars in making this movie. I think we can celebrate the fact that they have said that they're not going to release it, but I think we all have to remain vigilant against Fox Universal that somewhere down the road they don't decide to do this.
Yeah, they simply mentioned timing.
Yes.
And so it may very well be because of the shooting deaths in El Paso and Dayton.
Yes.
So, but we do want to thank, and we're going to be updating our webpage to reflect the fact that The Hunt is not going to be released, apparently, in September in theaters. We want to thank all of those who signed the petition, because I think the firestorm that was created over this gave the studio executives cold feet. So
sure,
the pressure up.
But stop right. and think about this. Stop for a moment to think if this was all reversed.
Right.
That somehow the hunters were Republicans.
Right.
And they were hunting people identified with a Democrat candidate.
Yes.
Can you imagine? Well, the movie wouldn't have been made.
Wouldn't have been made. And listen,
right,
I don't care. The original title for the film was Red State versus Blue State. I don't care who's hunting and who's being hunted. Mm. This is a sick vision of humanity and shouldn't have been made. I don't care who the quote-unquote good guys and who the bad guys are. It's just sick.
Yeah.
And shame on Universal Studios for greenlighting this to begin with. So.
Mark Stein, I believe he was interviewed on Fox News. He's a Fox contributor. And let's listen to this. He says he's a bit sorry the movie was canceled. Let's see how he's framing this. Cut number 8.
To be honest, I was curious to see this because in the normal form of Hollywood storytelling, if bad guys are hunting a group of people, the hunted are usually the good group who win. So I assumed like 3 or 4, low-ranking deplorables would be picked off in the first part of the film, and then the surviving group of A-list star deplorables would turn the tables and whack the globalist elites. So that's what I mean, that's the plot, isn't it? What kind of plot is it where, you know, elites hunt deplorables and the elites win? So I'm actually puzzled as to quite why they withdrew this.
Well, I'm just glad they did.
Yes. Yeah. And now to Mark Stein's point, the trailer does seem to hint at the fact that the heroine of the film is a woman from Mississippi, of all places.
Wow.
And they do start to fight back. The point is, this is sick.
Yes.
This is a sick vision of humanity. And this kind of thing. Listen, I don't want to blame violence on television and in the movies for the shooting in El Paso and Dayton. Mm. These things are very complex. But I'll tell you, it is not wise to feed the dark places of human nature.
Yes.
And I think that's what this movie does.
Well, like I say, I'm just glad. And we just have to remain vigilant on these things, guys, because we know where Hollywood's thinking is.
Sure.
Right.
Politically.
Right.
And they'll find another way as we head into the intense part of this election season.
Yes. That's funny you said that, because it already seems pretty intense to me, Fred,
right,
but it's only going to get more intense.
We're still a year out.
Oh, right. More than a year.
Yes.
This is going to get rancid.
Well, and there's nothing stopping them from releasing the movie next spring if they feel like it.
Right.
So
right.
We've got to keep our eyes on them.
All right. We only have a few seconds, I guess.
Hey, let me go ahead and do the Truth for Youth Bible campaign again. We want to try to get as many mentions of this as we can. Folks, this week is National Truth for Youth Bible Week. We want you to help us give away thousands of free Bibles to teenagers. American Family Radio and Revival Fires International are partnering together. This is actually Revival Fires International ministry. We just come alongside to help them. What we want to do is give away one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 through 18 who promised to pass it along to a friend in school. Now, these Bibles consist of the entire New Testament and full-color comics that present the gospel and moral truths. By the way, you can order more of these. We'll give you more information later on in the program. If you want to buy a box of these, you can. They're very cheap. If you're want to have a youth minister kind of distribute these, that'd be great as well. If you want to order the free Bible for your teen, visit afr.net. There is a banner there that you click through to. Or if you want to call this number, 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737. Truth for Youth Bible Week will continue. We'll be back after a couple of minutes. We'll take a short break. More coming straight ahead.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. and you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
It's Truth for Youth Bible Week.
And I woke up one morning and I told myself that if nobody told me that they loved me that day, then I was just going to kill myself. That day at school, a girl that I didn't know came rushing over to my locker and she handed me a Truth for Youth Bible and she said, "Hey, Jesus loves you. You should read this."
American Family Radio and Revival Fires International are partnering to give God's Word to our nation's youth. Parents, order a free Truth for Youth Bible for your teen to pass on to a friend. Or teens, you can order a Bible for a friend. Visit truthforyouth.com or call 800-733-4737 between 8 and 4:30 Central Time. That's 800-733-4737. One free Bible will be given to each young person who promises to pass it on to a friend.
And there was a page in Truth for Youth that showed me how to give my heart to Jesus. I just prayed and Jesus forgave me of my sins.
Call 800-733-4737 or visit truthforyouth.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Just how much do you love your dog? That story coming up.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ at liberty.edu/starnes.
Pet people would rather pucker up with their pooch instead of their partner. That's according to a survey conducted by Riley's, an organic pet food company. A majority of American pet owners say they are more affectionate with their pets than with their human partners. 52% said they would rather share a bed with a dog over their spouse. That same number said they gave their dogs more kisses than their significant others. And 61% say they kiss their canines on the mouth. Okay, look, I don't care how many doggy breath mints you give Fluffy, that's just disgusting. Last year, another survey found more than half of American pet owners admitted they skip social events to hang out with their pets. No doubt that Americans love to shower their pooches with kisses, but the bigger question is who the dog would rather kiss. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm just not sure, Fred or Ray, what to do with Todd Starnes' commentary.
I was just thinking about that. Would you rather kiss your wife or your dog? That's not a fair question.
And it's not even close.
That's right. It's not even close. Thank you.
I'm waiting for which direction Ed is going to go on this.
We don't know.
All I'm saying is it's not even close.
It's not even close.
No, listen. I've said this before on the air. My wife and I, we're, in our 60s, and so we have the morbid discussions about what happens if someone goes first. And I've told her if she goes first, the dogs are gone. I might keep the big one. No.
You have a real big one.
A real big one. Yeah, Great Pyrenees. Yeah, he's.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
They're half horse, aren't they?
Yeah, he's great. Now, I'd probably keep a couple of the little ones, but she's got some that she's rescued that I have absolutely no affection for.
How many do you have?
Right. That's a personal question, and I'm not going to miss it. But she has
a whole bunch.
She has a rabbit. She's got a guinea pig. She's got a bunch of birds. They're all gone. And then she says, "Well, if you go first, your books go." So anyway,
farewell to the guinea pig.
Yeah, I much rather prefer kissing my wife. I will say that publicly. All right. Those voices you heard, Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries, Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News, and One News Now. All right, Fred, what else we got cooking?
Well, former Vice President Joe Biden continues to lead in the Democrat primary polls over his other, 25 competitors.
Yes.
All right? And the political analysts call him the moderate. That's probably true to a certain extent, because the rest are totally off the radar. You know, some of them make Bernie Sanders look conservative.
Right.
But what Joe Biden is getting a lot of attention for these days is a long string of gaffes. So we're going to play a few of those for you.
Oh, man.
All right. This is probably over the last 10, 12 days.
Yeah.
All right. So cut number six.
I watched what happened when the kids from Parkland marched up to, and I met with them, and then they went off to up on the hill when I was vice president, and they went off the hill to go into those neighborhoods.
I watched what happened when those kids from Parkland came up to see me when I was vice president. They went into the, and some of you covered it. And you watch what happened when they went up on the halls of Congress.
We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts.
I had heard that last one. We choose truth over facts. Facts.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, you heard right. Truth over facts.
The one I heard about all weekend was the one where he said, this guy, he is a gap machine. Poor kids can do just as well as white kids.
White kids.
As if there are no poor white kids.
Right.
And all poor kids are young people of color. I mean, that's just...
But then there was the Parkland kids.
The Parkland,
yes, he
right.
wasn't vice president.
He wasn't. This happened in 2018. He yep. wasn't vice president then.
Right.
And so on and on it goes. And, the question is at what point, and I to go back to what the polls are saying, I think the run-of-the-mill, your mom-and-pop Democrat out there saying, we can't have Cory Booker
right.
at the top of the ticket. We can't have Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders at the top of the ticket. So we're looking at them, and Bernie is the only one that we think, but then he keeps repeating these gaffes, it's on and on. Just when you think it couldn't get any worse, it kind of does.
Kind of does. Right. Ray, what do you think? You think Democrats care about what these kind of gaffes that Joe Biden's
they
making?
Only care about one thing, and that's getting rid of Donald Trump. Mm. They're going to support anybody, and they're going to overlook anything, including these gaffes. They're just Uncle Joe. You know how he is.
Right.
And he's 76 right now. He would be, his birthday is in late November. He would be 78 on the day he was inaugurated as the next president. That is pretty old.
Yeah.
So, I think the Democrats so far are quite willing to look the other way. Because Joe Biden has been a gaffe machine, nonstop gaffe machine for many, many years.
I tend to agree with you. And by the way, Ray, you do very well for an old guy, too, in terms of your memory. And
thank you.
Yeah.
It comes and goes, Ed. It comes and goes.
Listen, I totally agree. I think probably a lot of Democrats, and I certainly agree, the motivation is to get Trump out of the White House. That's what they want, the one candidate who can do that. And I think even voters who aren't Democrat, who may be independent, middle of the road, what have you, I think they look at that kind of thing and they say, well, when you're speaking as much as someone does who's a candidate, you're going to make
right.
You're going to misspeak.
Right.
I mean, President Obama famously said, what, there's 57 states?
Right.
Okay, you make those kinds of mistakes if you're talking a lot. And I think they probably – but – now, if they link that to the fact that he's getting up in age and think he's not competent
right.
to be president, that might make a difference in terms of the primaries and who people vote for. But it is some of this is as much as President Trump kind of steps in it with his tweets sometimes. You go, oh, did he really say that? This is actually kind of entertaining. I mean, you're going to have a competition between the front runner for the Democrats and President Trump.
Well, Fred, isn't this kind of built in? Isn't it sort of like this is what we've come to expect from Joe Biden?
Yeah, pretty well. But there is a serious side to this, that if these gaffes, because there was another one a week ago last weekend in the wake of those horrible incidents.
Yes, he didn't get the cities right. in, or state?
Well, he said Houston, Texas, instead of El Paso, and then he said Toledo instead of...
Well, and he said Michigan, too.
Yeah, something like that.
Right, right.
So, I mean, it's funny, and we laugh about it, but there has to be a serious question somewhere if someone is making mistakes at this rate.
Right.
You know, it's almost like every second day these things are happening.
Yeah.
Then do we want him in the Oval Office?
Yeah, the question then becomes, is he competent?
Yes.
And just because you're 70, just because you're 76, 77, 78, doesn't mean you're not capable of fulfilling the duties, but not everyone that age is.
Yes.
And so then the question becomes, can he hold up to the rigors? I mean, he would be in office, presumably, if he ran for re-election, 8 years.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, let's switch to another Democrat candidate, Elizabeth Warren. Now, she, on the weekend, last week was the fifth year anniversary of the Michael Brown incident in Ferguson, Missouri.
Yes.
Elizabeth Warren, over the weekend, she said 5 years ago, Michael Brown was murdered by a white police officer in Ferguson, Missouri. Now, that is an untruth.
Right.
Now, I think Elizabeth Warren's pretty smart. I think it's a lie, a very deliberate lie, because Michael Brown was not murdered by a police officer. Even this all occurred 5 years ago when Barack Obama was president of the United States.
Right.
Eric Holder was attorney general of the United States. We all know that Barack Obama and Eric Holder sent all the forces of the federal government.
40 FBI agents went to Ferguson.
It was completely investigated.
Yes.
The attorney general's office investigated this, and their own conclusion was that Officer Wilson did not murder Michael Brown.
Right.
But here she is 5 years later, and for whatever motivation, stoke more racism against, I'm not sure what it is, but she declares publicly that Michael Brown was murdered by a white police officer. If that's not stoking racism, I don't know what is.
Well, I think, and Ray, jump in, I think what she's doing, these candidates who are running for the Democratic nomination, they cannot, not should not, will not, what, they cannot side with the police. They right. cannot. They have to go with the narrative that all police officers, white police officers especially, are racist, that racism is rampant in our country, and so the narrative has to always be that if someone dies in a confrontation with a white police officer, they're the victim of racism. Elizabeth Warren, now I think she's a true believer. I'm not sure if she's lying. She may just simply believe this narrative, but whether she does or she doesn't, she has to stick with this narrative. Ray, I mean, am I over-exaggerating the state for the Democrats?
To say what she said, Ed, she has to reject the findings of the Obama Justice Department, right? This is not an issue of when the Republicans were in power, because this happened under President Obama's watch. His Justice Department came to the conclusion Michael Brown was not murdered by that white police officer. The only thing I can conclude, you said maybe she just doesn't believe what the Justice Department said. I think she's pandering to get the black vote, which all the Democrat candidates, they've got to go after it any way they can. But it's just pandering, and it stirs up racial animosity in a situation where things are already way too tense in that area.
Yeah.
Well, this morning on Fox and Friends, a gentleman by the name of Jeff Ruta was interviewed about this, about what Elizabeth Warren's accusation. He is not only a member of the St. Louis Police Officer Association, but he's also a Democrat. And very interesting what he had to say about Elizabeth Warren's charge that Michael Brown was murdered. Cut number one.
Well, it's offensive to every police officer in America, Pete. I mean, Senator Warren is clinging to this false narrative. I mean, there's no reason to do that other than it pays, electoral dividends. Pandering is a good word. I mean, I don't know what good purpose is served by you know, extending this narrative that the Justice Department and the grand jury rejected flatly. Darren Wilson was acting in self-defense. It's really exhausting. I mean, and, you know, we keep addressing the fantasy of this situation instead of the reality, and we just can't make any progress under those circumstances. I think it's politically convenient for some that want to, you know, villainize law enforcement. They see it as a way to get votes in communities of color. But, I mean, I can tell you that they're just listening to the protesters. Now listen to the people in the community that want police there and want their community safe.
I think Mr. Ruto is exactly right. And I don't think this is a winning place for the Democrats to be. I really don't. I think most Americans appreciate what our police officers are doing on a daily basis. I take you back to that video last week in Dayton, Ohio, where those police officers ran towards the shooter.
Yeah.
And saved lives, I'm sure, in that case. And I think a lot of folks are just getting fed up with, yes, there are cases where police officers do not behave well.
Right.
And they should be prosecuted.
Absolutely.
Just like everybody else. We understand that. But there is this agenda out there against authority, against police officers. And anytime there's a shooting, the race card is played constantly. And I just think the American public overall are getting tired of this.
Well, I'll say this too, that what's Ruta's first name? What's this guy's?
Jeff.
Jeff Ruta. One of the things he mentions, made several really good points, but people in these troubled communities, they want the police there.
Yes.
Now they understand there may be, so I remember there was a case, I think it was in South Carolina, where the video came out and this policeman shot this guy. He was a black guy who was running away, but he shot him in the back.
Yes.
You know, six or seven times. That's the kind of thing where you go, there's no question that cop should be prosecuted. But the vast majority of policemen and policewomen are doing their jobs often under very difficult circumstances. You pointed out Dayton, Ohio. These officers have to overcome their own sense of self-preservation. Mm-hmm. They got, you know, spouses and children, too, they want to go home to. Mm-hmm. They run to the sound of the gunfire to protect people. And even the people of color in a lot of these cities, inner cities, they want the police there. They may want some better understanding between the community and the police. That's an excellent goal. Mm-hmm. You're not going to serve that goal by doing what Elizabeth Warren did, and that is holding to this discredited narrative.
Well, doesn't this play back into the fact we've talked about a number of times that the Democrats are falling all over themselves to see how fast they can move to the left? That instead of taking the side, all she'd have to do is say, this was a very horrible incident, but I accept the findings of Eric Holder and the Justice Department and let it go with that. But this is just part of the Democrats seeing who can move the farthest, the fastest to the left.
Yeah. All right, folks, before we move on to further news, I want to give you the good news that this is National Truth for Youth Bible Week. We're asking you to help us give away thousands of free Bibles to teens. We want to give 60,000 Bibles away this week. Give them into the hands of teenagers who promise to hand them to someone in their school that they've been praying for and want to give them a Bible. One free Truth for Youth Bible will be given to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promised to pass it along to a friend in school. This is a partnership between American Family Radio and Revival Fires International, who does this every year and has done this for years. The Truth for Youth Bible consists of the entire New Testament and full-color comics that present the gospel and moral truths. The Truth for Youth Bible is now also available in Spanish if you would like to request the Bible in Spanish. They have 100 pages of comics at the front of the Bible dealing with issues like homosexuality, school violence, we've been talking about that, abortion, the Ten Commandments. These are very popular, and what happens is kids will read these. This is all done well. The comics are excellent in terms of quality, and they're all biblically based. And so kids start reading this, and then they say, oh, I'm going to read the Bible that comes after it, the New Testament. So what we want to do is go over 1 million Bibles this week. AFR has been doing this with Revival Fires International for 18 years, and we have the opportunity to go over 1 million Bibles this year. Two ways to order the free Bible. Again, you get a free Bible. You can order more if you want. You have to pay for them, but they're very reasonably priced. All you got to do is promise to give this to a teenager that you know who will promise to give this to someone at school. Go to AFR.net. There's a banner there you can click on. Or you can call this number, 800-733-4737. That number is 800-733-4737. And before we go back to the news, let's hear one more testimony. Okay,
The Truth for Youth Bible inspired me and led me to Christ. It has also given me a chance to show others the way to eternal life and the only one who can give it, and that's Jesus. I currently lead a Bible study about the Truth for Youth Bible, and I have around 37 students. I'm hoping with the help of God, I will have 50 to 60 by the end of the year. And can I just say thank you so much for making this book? It has truly changed my life.
Mm. Wow, that's awesome. Someone got a Bible, got saved, now doing a Bible study. Folks, this is the only way to cure the sickness at the heart of our problems in this nation is the gospel and the word of God. So please participate. Help this week for National Truth for Youth Bible Week. All right, Fred.
So important to key in on young people.
Absolutely.
That's the focus here.
Yep.
Is to get the hearts of those young people. Well, hands up, everybody who's familiar with the guy by the name of Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, yeah.
Started that fad back, was it about a year and a half ago?
Oh, it's been longer than that. I think two years.
A couple of years. Of kneeling during the playing of the national anthem. Well, this weekend in Lima, Peru, the Pan American Games were held. United States men's foil team won the gold medal in those games. And normally those games don't get a whole lot of attention, but they are getting a lot of attention, I think, for the wrong reason, because United States fencer Race Imboden, I believe that's the way you pronounce his name, he took a knee during the awards ceremony at the games. All right?
So I'm looking at a picture of it.
They won gold. Now, this is what he said he did this. He said he talked to his teammates before this happened. He said, "Racism, gun control, mistreatment of immigrants, and a president who spreads hate are at the top of a long list." He said he had chosen to sacrifice, quote, "my moment at the top of the podium to call attention to issues that I believe need to be addressed." Well, his actions were addressed this morning on Fox and Friends. Dan Bongino, former police officer and Secret Service agent, not too happy with what this young man did. Cut number three.
"I'm really tired of these people, and I think a lot of America is too. You know, we share nothing in common with them. Number one, it's all about their own self-promotion. It's rarely about them engaging in any kind of a positive way to change things for the better. Whatever you're trying to argue for, you know, what did Kaepernick say, you know, social justice, or, and I believe his, this kneeler at the Pan American Games, I believe his thing was he was protesting some systemic racism. Those are all horrible things. We should all be trying to combat these things. But, you know, people have come home in boxes for this, to support this. And it reminds me again, one more thing here, that we share almost nothing in common anymore with liberals. You know, this was once a common space sports, where Americans could go for a refuge from the back and forth and the friction of politics. And liberals have to destroy, because they're a forest fire, every single thing they touch."
Wow. Bon Bongino, that's Italian, isn't it?
Dan Bongino, yeah.
Far be it from an Italian to rant when he gets the opportunity. Listen, here's the kind of thing that really bothers me. I'm bothered by what this Race Imboden, how do you pronounce this? Imboden, okay. I'm bothered by what he did, obviously, but here's what a spokesperson for the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee said. "Every athlete," this is a quote, "competing at the 2019 Pan American Games commits to terms of eligibility, including to refrain from demonstrations that are political in nature." In this case, race didn't adhere to the commitment he made to the organizing committee. That's the kind of thing that drives me crazy. You give your word, you're not going to turn your opportunity to represent your country into a political commentary. He says he will not, and then the guy lies.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to respect his moral stand? Ray, I'm sorry, I'm not buying it.
A good rant, Ed.
Yes, yes. Got it in the blood.
Well, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Who'd ever heard of this guy? Nobody had. He was on the fencing team. Good for them for going down to Peru and beating whoever they beat for the Pan American Game Championships. And fencing's I don't do it, but it's a fun sport to watch. It's just embarrassing to see an athlete kneel when he has given his word he will not do this. What does that make him? A lawbreaker? Not in the ultimate sense, but this guy doesn't keep his word. He's a liar. Why should we pay any attention to anything he does?
And, you know, I'm looking at the platform where the picture is of the athletes who were first, second, and third, so gold, silver, bronze. You got one group where they're saluting their flag. The others standing respectfully. I can't tell by their sweats what countries they're from. And then you got the two Americans, two standing respectfully, and then this knucklehead kneeling.
Yeah.
Well, he's a liar.
Yeah.
So
it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And just plain embarrassing to see a U.S. athlete doing this.
I hope the leaders of the Pan American Games do discipline this young man.
I hope they strip his medal.
Yeah.
I don't know if that they can do that. Mm-hmm. I think they should strip his medal.
Yep.
You won the medal. We gave you the opportunity to do this. You made a commitment, and you broke it. So guess what? We're breaking our commitment to you.
Look.
Hand it over.
You know, there's a ton of ways. I love your rants. Great.
Yes.
I can feel the energy here. You know. But look, if the guy wants to go on social media, nobody cares, right?
Right.
You want to say something about the problems in America, which we've got plenty, go on Facebook and go on Instagram and just do it to your heart's content. But don't do it when you're an official representative of our nation on foreign soil. It's infuriating and it's humiliating.
Yeah, and he says, I'm taking away from my big moment. Well, you know what, Jack? It's not your big moment. This is a moment for our country.
Yeah.
And these people, I'm telling you, these social justice warriors, the most infuriating thing about it is they are so self-centered.
Yeah.
And listen, this guy, he wants, like Ray said, like Dan Bongino said, you want to work on some of these problems? I want to see you work on some of these problems and do it without putting up a big spotlight and saying, look what I'm doing.
Right.
Okay? So you want the spotlight on you.
Right.
You want to be famous. You want to be a hero. Well, try doing it without bragging about it and drawing attention to yourself, and I'll have a lot more respect for you, even if I disagree with what you're saying. All right, I got nothing else to say. Only thing I can rant about with equal fervor is pineapple on pizza. That's the only other thing.
Now we've gone too far.
Yeah, now we're going too far.
Now we're on the dark side of life.
Well, I'm going to try to end on a positive note.
Yeah, go ahead, try it. I'm not buying it.
Chase Manhattan Bank. We all love banks.
Oh, yeah, we sure do.
If you're Canadian, you really love Chase Manhattan Bank, because you know what they announced on the weekend?
What?
They were forgiving all credit card debt.
What?
That Canadians have. If you are a Canadian and you're holding a Chase Manhattan Bank credit card, they announced.
For real?
Are you serious?
I am serious. They're forgiving all credit card debt for Canadian holders.
The one time in my life I wish I'd had credit card debt.
What?
And you were a Canadian.
And I was Canadian.
This isn't a joke. You're for real.
I'm for real. They're doing it. Now, of course, they can do it because $100 Canadian is worth $1 American. I'm serious about the basic announcement.
Though. That's fantastic. Good for Canada. Once again, boy, they have everything going for them up there.
And they got geese.
We have our own geese.
They got that great bacon, hockey. All right, folks, we're going to take a five-minute break for news. When we come back, more of this kind of good news that you're hungry for.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.